That's Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Kia ora, Rita.
Kia ora, how are you guys?
Kia ora to Scarecrow and kia ora to John as well. We're good. It's Monday and we're feeling actually quite optimistic. And we're wondering if whatever's kind of breaking your balls is going to bring us down or not. What's on your radar?
Oh, no. Well, this week I saw that, for those of you that don't know, the pretty much the entire state of California has been in a pretty significant drought. And I saw this week that the farmers are starting to rip out their almond crops.
They take a lot of water, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's sort of one of these crops that probably isn't growing in the right place. In terms of like biome, for a long time, because I guess the California coast is very similar. It's a biome that's kind of similar to like the Mediterranean. It's quite dry, so possibly planting a water hungry crop there wasn't ideal.
Is everyone kind of worried about fires? Basically, that's the next step from a drought, right? And
California's had fires.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
For some time, but that's not really why they're pulling out their crops. I think this is the realization that things are not going to get better.
Yeah.
So, they've been having failing crops for some time every now and then, and now it's like that's just happening too often. The droughts are happening too often to be, sustainable, and it's pretty obvious. So, they've started pulling out their crops. And before people go like, why would you, grow a water hungry crop somewhere that's, pretty dry, we only have to look at New Zealand, where we have decided to set dairy farm in areas like the Mackenzie Basin, which is a dry area, and dairy is a very water hungry industry. So, it's not...
not best practice and not sustainable practice. So what can is it going to be a case of me growing my own veggies? Is that going to solve these massive issues we have for food sustainability?
Well, yes and no. I think it is complex, but we are going into a future where there's going to have to be some of these decisions made, really. I guess what we're seeing is climate change in action in some of these places, but also a growing population, and then of course there's declining quality of arable land. So we've not just put housing on it, declining quantity of arable land. So in the past we've had if you couldn't grow somewhere, you just kind of moved further out. And then you could grow, your housing would spread and so would the growing area would just move further out. But we're sort of running out of that land now. And so it's not just housing, it's also sort of the loss of soil. When we cut down trees, it means that the soil kind of washes away. And also, those flat lands are the areas that you do tend to build housing on because it's cheaper. And then we're getting desertification, which shouldn't be confused with...
It sounds like there's a lot of factors at play here. I mean, there's so many. It's like a weird spiderweb of all these things. What can we do in the interim to like start planning for food that is sustainable?
Yeah, so it's absolutely about a paradigm shift. None of this stuff has an easy solution. What we have to do is change our eating. So the biggest one that we need to come to terms with in terms of a paradigm shift is, we have fed and been able to have huge population growth globally because we've been using synthetic nitrogen, which was discovered, I think it was the Green Revolution, I think it was like the 1900s, I'm not entirely sure, but it meant that we were able to pull and create nitrogen, which was able to feed us further. So we're making more nitrogen than our world would normally, and that's kind of held up our population. So what we really need to come to terms with is that is just not sustainable.
Okay.
Is it the farming that's not sustainable, or is it the
amount of people that are on the planet?
No, John, it's not okay.
it's both. So one of the main problems that we have is that we could feed the world the way that a lot of third world and second world countries live, where it is quite plant-based, and then they rely on meat and seafood from their own farm. So that kind of lifestyle is something that we could feed, you know, 9 billion people on. The problem is that as countries get richer, they also get a richer taste. So they want to have, you know, dairy, they want to have meat. And those meat in particular, red meat in particular, is something that is hugely unsustainable. So, you know, yes, we could feed the population of the world very easily if we all took a step back from the way we currently eat, or the developed world took a step back from the way
what
we
is
eat.
What do you think the paradigm shift would entail for the population as it stands at the moment? Say numbers stay on the same trajectory of humans on Earth, we keep growing and we keep eating. What are we not going to eat? Obviously, red meat is top of the pile. Everyone's sort of aware of it being the most damaging to the planet. What would my diet look like in, say, a decade if we make this big shift?
Yeah, so I was just reading some data and I was sort of saying a 20% omnivore diet, which I'm assuming means that you could probably have eggs, you know, or maybe chicken, you know, one day a week. And then, well, that's not quite exactly right because there's more than 5 days in a week, but just rounding up. And then the rest of the time you're looking at a plant-based diet, and things like cereals are fantastic. So in New Zealand, they actually did a study down in Southland, and if you think about Southland at the moment, it's completely boggy, super muddy. You know, it's a terrible place to be making dairy. It's a wetland, basically. So they looked at converting some of that into oats and wheat to make milk, and that was provided 4 times as much growth energy, 2 times more protein, 14 times less greenhouse gas, and 40 times less water. So we're looking at things like shifting, like looking at these things we really like dairy milk and cheese, and finding alternatives that are going to be less harmful. And
oats are tasty as well. I mean, I've just got back into having a bit of porridge.
They're on trend, man. I know for a while there they had them at like festivals in Europe. It was a big thing, just have some oats.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, a little banana, a little snack there.
There we go, some potassium.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah, so I think we just need to, like, I think a paradigm shift will probably be forced on us, to be honest.
But
like,
also to the mainstreamness. Sorry, Rita, to just jam in there, a little comment. You know, like when I go to Burger King, I've been getting the Rebel Whopper rather than the normal Whopper. It's better.
Oh, wow.
It's actually fucking better, like consistently a better burger. So you know, we need to consider radical invention as well in our futureness. You know, it might be that these things that get made are actually just way tastier and better than beef ever was.
Well,
isn't that the goal?
That's what I think. Yeah. I totally think that humans, like every single time we're faced with adversity, we actually are really good at inventing our way out of it.
Totally.
You know, and coming up with a better solution. And I think the number one thing we have to do is recognise and acknowledge that this is a major problem, and then we will come up with solutions. Ignoring them, putting our head in the sand, thinking that it's a problem that's overseas. You know, you asked about what will create a paradigm shift. When you're living in a place where you're seeing farmers ripping up, you know, hectares, hundreds of hectares of trees because they're no longer sustainable, I think that would cause a pretty strong paradigm shift.
Do you know
where
what
you
the,
go, oh, wow.
Do you know what the almond growers are putting down instead of almonds then over in the over in California?
They haven't. I think they're going through the process of figuring it out now.
Okay.
So I think it's been, like, it's not even like they've gone, oh, okay, cool, we'll plan for this and rip it out. They've gone, holy shit, this is just not, it's just not worth us having trees here anymore.
A nice desert would go quite well here.
What was that?
No, oh, look, he's just being a smart ass. Yeah. It's actually not cool, man.
Well, apparently, kangaroo meat is very sustainable. I haven't looked into
kangaroo
it.
Kangaroo meat. Kangaroos. Yeah. Kangaroos. Get rid of those almond trees.
Just bring a couple of kangaroos over here. That surely they won't spread like wildfire.
No. I definitely don't think we need to be bringing them over.
Are there wallabies on Waikiki?
There's wallabies all through the South Island.
Fuck, man. And they've got just enough fingers to pull the fingers at you. It's like,
I wonder what the wallaby meat tastes like. I think it's about that shift to just try, you know, trying different things and not necessarily being stuck in the way that you are eating at the moment.
Mm. All right. Great advice. Just be ready for some change in the future.
Do you reckon like we need to like sponsor a town in New Zealand to like show how this might work on sort of a larger community scale, town instead of like instead of being the mural town or having heaps of shit made of corrugated iron, mint, someone could be a fully sustainable town, you know.
I mean, it would be so wonderful to do that. And if you can show a better way, because I think, you know, I feel sorry for farmers because they're stuck in the middle of this,
right?
You know, yes.
We're all stuck in the middle. I'm in a city right now going, how do I be more sustainable, you know? Like, so it'd be cool if there was just a town you could go to and go, oh fuck, this is how it works, okay, great, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Land Corp was set up to really do, you know, to have a look at a more future-proof and resilient farming system. Mm. And they, you know, they are setting up closed-loop farming, like big farms around,
right.
to kind of test it and see what they need to do. And
we could test all kind of things in that town. We could legalize cannabis in that town as well, maybe.
Oh, wow. Make it its own thing. Yeah, I like your idea.
You know, like, you know how New Zealand's like a test case for F-possum and all stuff like that? We could make our own little test case.
Totally.
Within two.
I just totally don't understand why we wouldn't. Like, we're such a great nation of forward thinkers that take risks.
Yeah.
And we know it works because people before us have done it. And there was a tipping point sort of somewhere between the 70s and the 90s where we were sustainable. And those weren't the worst years. You know, it's not like, I hate that whole, you just want to take us back to the Dark Ages. No, we don't have to go back to the Dark Ages. We have to go back to sometime between 70s and 90s.
Wasn't everyone drinking beer all the time? It's like a mint.
But out of big bottles, you see, you know?
There was dragons and Game of Thrones and stuff. It was cool, man.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Whenever I watch those shows, I think about how disgusting that beer must have been.
Game of Thrones before or after the dinosaurs?
Depends how you look at it. Apparently, dragons were dinosaurs, technically. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe after.
That's how my son.
They're in like every story in history. You guys need to look into it. You're not looking into it, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, maybe there was a few remaining. You know, like Loch Ness or whatever.
Remember, exactly. Hey, Rito, thank you very much. Thanks for entertaining these chats.
And, no worries.
It's always fun to figure out where we're going.
All of you take the challenge up of trying to eat a little bit less meat every week, and we will get there.
I feel like I am. But I just
The other thing is it's becoming so bloody expensive.
Mm.
It's true. Yeah, I don't outright go and buy meat from the supermarket or anything like that. I've got a gun.
Totally.
Got a gun I get my meat off.
All right, Rita.
Okay, guys.
We'll have a great week. Let's wrap it up there.
Meat's going to go underground? Like, it's going to be like, oh, I got a dude. Oh, yeah, what have you got?
We will chat to you next week. And a big thanks to Scarecrow.
Thanks, Scarecrow. Bye.
Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.